Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! Look at that. Another one. My God.
My throat is turning into hamburger meat. All over again. The San Diego Padres and the guttural scream. They're a very exciting baseball team. They make me very excited. I'm very happy. Very, very happy with our local baseball club. Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Lovely to be here on a Thursday. Let's get our heads right as best we can. Today is also Roundtable Day, which means on Roundtable Day, I get up at about 2 a.m. every single Thursday. It happens like clockwork.
Your dedicated prep to the Roundtable, you like to...
I think it's more my...
Think about some of your answers in advance.
It's more of my dedicated anxiety about it.
Now, we're working longer today. You should have gotten extra rest.
That's always the plan, is to do that, but it never happens. It seemingly every Thursday is the day that I get up at 2, and I'm like, and I have this dread. And then as soon as the roundtable's over, I go right to the trainer, where he just beats me up.
I dread the trainer. Why? I don't know why you dread the roundtable.
I don't okay. Dread it per se.
It's like it ends up being you have to answer like 6 questions over the course of an hour.
It's just I don't know what it is. I don't necessarily dread it, and I've said it before. I like it. I actually have
I know
fun
because
I don't get to see everybody all the time, I like that part of it. But there's just something about. I think it's the show leading up to the roundtable. You know what I mean? It's all of it. It's all encompassing. It's just knowing you got a long day with a bunch of stuff to do. Every friggin' Thursday, man, it is 2 a.m. and I wake up and I am just wide awake, just ready to roll. Like, here we go. I made a full breakfast, the whole bit, man. I've been up for 4 hours right now. 4 hours. Freshly shaven, the undercarriage here, right here. Oh. That bottom part. Freshly showered and you know, ready to go. It's just weird. Happens every week. Well, welcome in. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, sports and news anchor.
Joins I watched us you this for like morning. 5 minutes yesterday.
How'd he do?
5 of the 3.5 hours I was on last night.
You did really good tossing to a commercial break after weather.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Then you did really good after Marie Cornell's story on... tariffs impacting sports, local
kids, sports
merch,
equipment, going up in price even more.
I haven't heard about this. Fill me in.
You know, most of the stuff that you buy is probably going to be imported. All the gear.
Right. Like what kind of gear?
Custom t-shirts,
uniforms,
whatever.
Custom t-shirts.
Okay.
Team sweatshirts and stuff like that.
It's usually produced in another country, which means the already expensive process of outfitting your children for youth sports is only going to get pricier.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, yeah, it was a pretty standard news night. Kimberly Hunt was emceeing the State of the County address, and she had some stories on that, so we had that on. But yeah, the normal mix of news and features. There was one that really got me. There was a toddler in Sedona, Arizona, wandered away from their house and was gone, like the whole night, like gone all night in the Arizona desert wilderness. Jeez. Hours, like, and they couldn't find the toddler, and somehow after a search, like in the morning, a dog like found this child like by itself, and it like curled up to protect it. I mean, what a sweet, like, good boy, what a good dog. And he was fine. He was okay. Even though like the searchers were like, they had the helicopters out, and the helicopter was radioed down to the searchers. Hey, there are mountain lions tracking you out there, so be careful.
Oh, like, my God.
We could see the mountain lions, but somehow the mountain lions didn't get this 2-year-old that had wandered away. Ended up going 7 miles.
Wow.
A two-year-old,
7 miles in the Arizona desert. I mean, it was okay.
It's massively, massively believable.
Just 7 miles from Sedona. Right.
Just 7 miles from his home.
He's going for the Kung Pao chicken.
You know, here we're telling everyone how close 7 miles is. Those parents don't feel that 7 miles is all that close.
Right. Good point.
It's, you know, man.
It's all about context.
Yeah.
Context matters.
It's so true. Just 7 minutes from our home. What do you mean, just 7 minutes? Your 2-year-old wandered 7 miles from your house.
I mean, if you were at Petco Park at the game with your 2-year-old,
he leaves,
they're gone,
and he winds
you
up.
You find them 7 miles.
Wait, just to confirm, the 2-year-old's okay, right?
Yeah, 2-year-old's
okay. 2-year-old's fine.
Okay,
fine.
I don't feel really bad then.
So, yeah. Tej says, where were the parents? All right. I'm not defending that. I'm not defending it. I'm not. But until I had kids, I was the guy that would say, and TJ has kids, so I wouldn't be like, where were those parents? Like, you're so exhausted, and I don't know the circumstance. I know nothing. They could have been absolutely negligent turd parents, right? They absolutely could have.
I don't think they were. It just somehow wandered kind of out the backyard and gone. I mean, yeah, there was some sort of not paying attention for a moment going on, certainly. But
the hardest part about being a parent now is knowing how much leash to give, how much rope to give them, right? Like, Bo now is 7. And he's a little man. Like, he is a little man. He's responsible. He has his little gizmo watch where he can, you know, if something happens, he can call me on his gizmo watch. Rings right to my phone. He can text me, which is, it's sweet. It's also like, all right, I get it. But yes, hi, good morning to you. Hello.
It was really fun a few months back when we were out in Arizona, when there was fantasy camp or spring training, and you and me would be in the car, and I would just hear like your watch, because we'd be listening to music through your phone, through the speakers, and all of a sudden I just hear, hey, what's up, big fella?
Yeah, it's Bo. He's sending me audio messages on his gizmo. So the thing is like, how much rope do you give him? So he comes in the other day, and he goes, Dad, can I go down to Cal's house to see if he's home? And I go,
how far is Cal's house?
It's so maybe 10 houses down, up a little walkway, and it's right there on the corner. So
he knows where it is. He knows how to get there.
Yeah, it's an 80th of a mile.
Not busy streets or anything.
Yeah. Live in a cul-de-sac, you know, neighborhood, whatever. So I'm sitting there at the desk, and I'm working, and he's like, can I run down to Cal's house? And I go, it hit me. I was like, yes, but don't ride your bike. Walk. And he said, okay. And he said, why can't I ride my bike? I go, because if you fall, you crack your head open, you break your leg. I said, just walk. So you stay in other people, you know, like on the sidewalk and other people's. Just don't ride your bike. Just walk down there. And he said, okay.
Taking a little uncertainty out of the mix.
Taking a little bit of uncertainty out of the mix. But then there will come a time when it's, Dad, me and my friends want to go ride our bikes. And I'm like, okay. Or no, I don't really, you're 9, you know, I don't need you out. But I think about when I was 9 and 10 years old, I know it's different now too. It's different. So I don't know. It's just, it's the hardest part about being a parent is like, obviously you don't give a 2-year-old any rope. You're supposed to watch them at all times. I mean, I can't tell you how many times though, like you're holding your eyelids open to try to stay awake as your 2-year-old is like playing in a playpen. And then all of a sudden one day your 2-year-old climbs out of said playpen and you don't really realize it because you're doing something else. I'm sympathetic to him. And I'm so glad that kid's okay.
I was talking to my wife the other day.
It's crazy.
Is it kind of true? I don't, you know, we don't have kids. Like sleepovers are no longer a thing.
Yeah, they're different than they used to be.
When I was growing up, it was every weekend you were
pretty much
having somebody over, or you were going over to somebody else's house on a Friday night. It was no big deal.
Yeah, pretty much.
And none of my friends that have kids, like they're like, oh yeah, we don't do that.
You know,
and I go, yeah, the world's changed a lot in the last 25, 30 years.
It has. It absolutely has. And nothing weird or untoward ever happened at any of my sleepovers. Not that it would with Bo either. We know the parents and everybody pretty well. But Paulie, it's the constant paranoia. It's just constant.
No, have we become too suspicious of other people? At some point we weren't suspicious enough, but now as the pendulum swung too far, now we suspect everybody of, you know, nefarious activities.
Well, the other thing, too, is like, I don't know what, let's say Bo has a new friend, and this is a hypothetical, he has got a new friend, and I've seen the dad and the mom, I've met him, whatever, but he's really tight with the kid, and he goes over and spends the night. I don't know if that dad leaves pills around, or, you know, or God forbid, you know, the worst thing. Like, I have no idea. So, yeah, man, I'm a little bit more judicious about it. I'm pretty suspicious all the time. I watch enough. We all see enough of the internet on a daily basis to go, all right, there's a lot of creepy people out there. When I'm driving to pick them up from school, if I see some straggler, you guys remember, I reported the guy, the kid's grandfather. Remember that? I pull up to Bo's preschool.
Oh.
Remember this? I pull up to Bo's preschool and I see this old man lurking around and he's not going in. He's lurking around behind the bushes. And I'm like, I know what I came to do. I know what's happening here. This is absolutely creepy. Well, he was a grandfather. He was waiting on his granddaughter to come out so he could surprise her. And I went right to the lady. I was like, hey, there's an old creep out there walking around. When I drive to pick them up from school, my head is on a swivel, dude, looking around that neighborhood. I'm always looking around that neighborhood like, what's that guy doing? What are you doing? Why are you peering over the fence, bud? I'm just that way now. Like, I'm conditioned that way.
Alex says the human psychology of risk analysis is deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Sorry. If I see an old man creeping around a preschool, I'm going to say something like every single time.
Squirrelly says you thought he was a crumb bum.
I did. I thought he was a crumb creep. But yeah, I feel terrible for those parents, man. I really do. It is, it's what a horrible feeling. If you've ever lost your kid for,
but if someone thought of that about, you know, oh, should I send my kid over to Bo's to have a sleepover?
Yeah.
You know that kid would be as safe as your own child.
100%.
You'd take great care of them. There'd be no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, you know, you probably have other parents. I don't know what goes on over at the Woods house. They never let anyone in at all.
I mean, we don't let anyone in our home.
There could be really dark activities going inside there.
Our sex dungeons and whatnot that we have in our home. Right.
It's not just them. You don't know their neighborhood. You don't know their neighbors.
Yeah,
you don't
dude.
Know.
Is dungeons plural? Like three?
Yeah, we have a few. We have one underground. and then one
You're
better.
You're a crumb creep.
Yeah. Oscar says that Woods is a Ken. I'll wear it. I will. I'll wear it. When it comes to my kids, yeah, I'm a little bit of a Ken. I do like to give a little, I tell Hannah and I always have the conversation of like, hey man, they're going to fall off their bike. They're going to fall off their skateboard. They're going to get hit with baseball bats and balls. Like they need to be boys and they need to fall down and skin their knee. We can't protect them from everything, but I feel like being on high alert for pedophiles doesn't necessarily make me a Ken, just more of a concerned dad. And so, yeah, I'll, if that makes me a Ken, then a Ken I am. If I'm always looking for some creep that's looking to throw my kid in a van, yeah, all right, I'll wear it. It's like my greatest fear that somebody does something to my kid.
I feel like I can't even buy a van, really.
You are not allowed to buy a van.
Vans
no.
are too creepy.
Vans are too creepy, yeah. 100%. Buy an SUV.
You have a van.
We have a Sprinter van.
It's a van.
It is a van.
It's a van.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But no, I'm... Yeah, Schilt's Creek says, my boy's 5, he rides his electric bike up and down the street all day long, hates being inside. Bro, mine too. They just, we keep them on the street, keep them in the cul-de-sac, let them do their thing. But I'm all, you know, we're constantly kind of checking on, we'll let him outside. Like, Bo can go outside by himself with his friends for a little bit, and I'm about every half an hour kind of poking my head out, making sure, well, also, like, they're not beating each other up or doing anything stupid, and they'll take the hose and leave the hose on, like, dumb stuff that kids do. So you do have to check, but I feel horrible for those parents. Horrible. Like, what a terrible... If you've ever lost your kid for more than a second, you know that feel. You ever lose yours when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just for a brief, like, 15 seconds.
15 seconds
like,
is enough.
Around.
It feels like an eternity. It feels like an... You walk in to check on them, they're not in their room. And they were supposed to be in their room, and you're like, where is that dude? Taylor was in the backyard hitting off the tee before he could walk. You know, it was crazy. He crawled his ass outside and started hitting off the tee or something. Like, it is just, it's not a good feeling. But anyway, well, thanks for that story, Ben. I'm glad that the kid's okay. I need to look that up, actually.
Yeah, someone actually did look it up, and even the kind of dog in Anatolian Pyrenees that found the kid.
Oh, that's so
rad. Like, protected the kid. Like, this... This seems wrong. I'm going to go protect this child, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, so. No question. Yeah, Ryan Schimpf enjoyer. I also was a Ryan Schimpf enjoyer. Says,
we all
were for a time there. He says, people are afraid of random strangers swooping up their kids, but that's like so rare.
It is.
It's, you know, most of the time it's people you know, right? And that's the scary part. But hey, man, like I said, I don't live in fear of it, but I am on alert for it. And I think a lot of parents are. I am constantly, you know, constantly assessing the situation pretty much everywhere I go.
All right. Why don't we get things started? Because when we come back, not only will we set the menu for what is a fairly busy Throwback Thursday, but Paulie had a good idea. Let's get right to our throwback clip for the day, because he's got one that's a fun one from the pandemic era Ben and Woods program.
Oh,
plus,
God, I feel like we just did this. Time is flying, man.
By.
Oh my God!
Plus, we
Five
have
years ago.
A bit of a show announcement to get to
oh,
in our
yeah.
next segment as well. We'll explain why we're making the announcement and why there's a bit of a change in our weekly lineup in our next segment. But we do have a pretty good show for you. Obviously, we will talk about another Padres victory yesterday. Just a solid win for your San Diego Padres. And a game we talked about yesterday, Woods, felt like was an important one.
Sure.
To split the season series, to end the homestand on a high note and not hit the road on a two-game losing streak. And they did everything that you could ask. Nick Pivetta was terrific. We will talk all about that. Coming up, we'll get Kelly's traffic, and then we are off and running on a Throwback Thursday, a Roundtable Thursday, a Victory Thursday with Ben and Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'll tease our special announcement just for another minute or two because I want to get to our Throwback Thursday clip. A little early today, but we do have a busy show planned for you. Paulie always digs into the archives on Thursdays to find moments from the show that happened on this day or this week. And today we're going back 5 years into the, into the meat of our Corona Cave pandemic. We were about, 3 or 4 weeks now into broadcasting live from the my parents' guest house, which was our Corona Cave.
I can still feel the chill in my bones.
It was cold. I guess it didn't have heat or didn't work or something, but it was freezing in there most mornings.
I mean, like work. I worked in a gas station one time, and I would have to go back and stock the freezer, and you'd have to go, you gloves, jacket, the whole bit, and you go back there and you're stocking beer and stuff. And it was miserable. I remember walking in the Corona Cave and going, "What? It feels like the walk-in. Paul, you know, walk-in cooler. You worked in many a kitchen. Paul, you go to the walk-in. You're like, you got to brace yourself. And we did 4 hours in that walk-in every day. Finally, your mom brought in like a
space
like old space. Yeah. There's no heat.
I guess not, or it wasn't working or something. So we'd sit at opposite ends of this kitchen table and set up the equipment, and we did the show for months and months from the Corona Cave, which is, you know, it's in kind of semi-rural Rancho Santa Fe area. So outside the door, it's usually, it was dark and kind of, you couldn't see any light. I mean, we were like, felt very isolated at the Corona Cave.
It was weird, dude.
You know, sometimes even a little spooky feeling out there.
Big time.
And that brings us to our clip from 5 years ago when both of us were startled by a very unexpected moment.
Do you remember a guy named Dan Cortez? Whoa, what was that?
What was that?
You guys okay,
it was a
remember?
Bird that flew into the window and is now
dead. Perfect.
Well, maybe it's just stunned.
Great.
Well, that's sad.
Well, that just
no, it's getting up. It's getting up. It's stunned.
Oh,
it's just
man.
A bit of a concussion.
Oh, that's sad.
Going into concussion protocol.
Oh my God! Just flew into
here. Just come on. Let's go, Birdie. You can do it. Come on, get up. There you go.
Even look.
On. Okay, wing. The right wing may have. We may have an issue.
Play by play. I'm a dying bird.
No, it's okay. It's just. Just needs a second.
Go love on him a little bit.
No. Might carry the coronavirus or something.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to stay inside.
That scared me to death.
Yeah, that was a bit nervous. It doesn't happen usually in our Intercom Empire studios.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
My heart's racing right now. Scared me to death,
yeah.
Dude.
So scary. I kind of want to know why we were talking about Dan Cortez also.
Yeah, I love Dan Cortez. Do you remember a guy named Dan Cortez? He was on that. He was on MTV, but he was also. He was on.
I mean, we were right next to that window.
Right there.
I mean, the sound over the air does not do it justice.
He hit it hard, bro. Like, you ever walk into a wall?
Five or six feet away from
yeah,
us.
Yeah. I mean, he hit it really, really hard. Dan Cortez was in one of the best Seinfeld episodes ever. He was the cool guy that was dating Elaine.
Yes.
And George fell in love with him.
Yes.
And would make him sandwiches and stuff, and they would go rock climb. I can't remember his name in it, though.
Oh.
Step off, George. Step off. No, Tony. No, Tony. Please don't say step off. It was so... The Mimbo. That's right. He was a Mimbo. He was brilliant. I follow him on Instagram.
A male Bimbo.
Male Bimbo.
Right.
He was great. He was a Mimbo. Dan Cortez. Yeah. That's so weird.
Tony, the ultra cool, good looking, rock climbing boyfriend of Elaine.
Oh, Tony, don't say step off. Step off? You want me to step off? It's brilliant. Brilliant. I don't know why we were talking about him, though. I have no idea.
We were talking about a lot of random things.
We were.
Back in those days with no sports.
We still do, so.
That's
I
true.
Just, I just learned I share a birthday with Dan Cortez.
Get out of town!
September 14th,
oh,
baby.
Oh, man. He's a pretty, he's a good follow on Instagram. He's doing good.
Get him on the show.
I would love to. In a heartbeat, Paulie. Set it up.
All right.
Ben's going to be out next week. Get Dan Cortez on the line. All right.
What else?
What else? Yeah, this is when we get to explore the space a little bit. So Dan Cortez next week. Ben and Woods. Make it happen.
So here's what we've got coming up for you on the show today. Obviously, we've got our Padres wrap up in the next segment. We'll talk about the win over the Cubs yesterday. But we have a trio of guests joining us on this Thursday, including... Moving up from Fridays to Thursdays now, officially going forward, is in-season Sammy. Sam Levitt's going to join us at 7:35. He's going to be a Thursday complement to our Smart Baseball Thursday with Eno Saris, which is going to continue at 8:35. So you might be asking, why? Why did we move Sammy from Fridays to Thursdays, Friar Fridays to Thursdays? Well, a couple of reasons. We get some more Padres talk in on a Thursday. I think that goes well with Eno. Fridays, we're going to have a new regular guest, and I'm sure we will talk some baseball with him, but we also want to follow a little more closely our new soccer team, the San Diego FC of the MLS, are 8 games into their franchise history, and joining us now on a weekly basis on Fridays will be the great Darren Smith every single Friday. So we carved out some time for Darren to join us to talk some soccer and whatever else is going on in San Diego sports. And he's kindly agreed to join us throughout the summer, which, you know, got the new role as one of the voices of the team.
Yep.
So I think that's a great fit for us on Fridays, in addition to our manager's report and other Padres stuff that we'll have going on at the end of the week.
Yeah, can't wait. And talk to Darren, was fired up to do it. You know, he's doing a podcast now. He's out there. So I called him. I said, this just makes way too much sense. He goes, yeah, I agree 100%. So he'll be joining us every Friday. Super, super excited about that.
We're also going to have an in-studio guest today in our final hour before the roundtable. Woods, of course, made the announcement earlier this week that he is stepping down as the public address voice of the San Diego Seals. And tomorrow night will be your final game. And it is also a huge game for the Seal. It's a must win. Win and they're
dead.
In the playoffs. Lose and they're done. The season is over. So it's essentially a playoff game at Pechanga Arena. And joining us in studio to talk a little Seals and talk about Woods' tenure with the team is going to be their head coach, Patrick Merrill.
Love Patty, man. I'm going to be emotional, I'm telling you.
I know you will.
I'm very
so
emotional.
So that's coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. I have our regular features, of course, including Don't Do This, A Real or Fake, on a Throwback Thursday at 8:20 for your chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, Rindle Report, and I believe Scraby didn't give them away yesterday, so we do have our Warren Haynes Band tickets to give away later in the program as well. So that's the menu for a Thursday. We'll start, though, with all the highlights with Tony and Jesse. Yesterday's win to wrap up a 5-1 homestand for your San Diego Padres. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
People seem to be reacting well to our big announcement. Darren Smith going to be joining the programs every Friday. But we won't be changing the manager's report. That is also going to come your way tomorrow. And you can... Were you saying something?
I said, hey, boy.
Oh, yeah. Tune into the manager's
report. How you doing?
Good. That guy, Mike Schilt. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. on Ben & Woods, the manager's report is refreshed by Eco Water SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Eco Water SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. All right, you ready to talk a little Padres baseball?
Been waiting.
I liked that game yesterday. Padres wrap up coming up right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep. 0-1 to Tucker. Pivetta kicks and delivers, and this one hit in the air to left field. Straight away, fairly deep, but playable. Should get the run home. Gonzalez circles underneath of it, makes the catch. Kelly tagging on his way to throw cut by Machado. A sacrifice fly for Kyle Tucker, and a 1-0 lead for the Cubs. 2-1 and 1-out for Fernando. Padres down 1-0 in the third inning. And a big-time opportunity as Tatis grounds one slowly to the right side. Horner sliding to his left. Bobbles, throws to first, not in time. And Diaz scores to tie the game. It was going to get the run home no matter what, but the little bobble combined with Fernando's speed allows Tatis to reach safely. It's a 1-1 game and an RBI single for Tatis. Here the full count. Tatis and Wade will be on the move. 3-2 to Manny. The pitch from Boyd swung on, grounded sharply through the left side and a base hit. Wade's on his way home. Fernando to third. Machado an RBI single. And the Padres ahead. It's 2-1. Pitch coming. Manny rips it in the air down the left field line. Hooking. That's a fair ball. Going to go to the corner. Wade is speeding towards third. He'll be waved. The throw comes in to Swanson. No chance for a relay. An RBI double for Machado. And the Padres do add on. It's 3-1. Next pitch to Crow Armstrong. Send in the air. High and deep to right field. Fernando is at the wall looking up. It's going to go. Home run. Pete Crow Armstrong. And all of a sudden, that run the Padres got last inning, absolutely huge. It's now 3-2. Pitch, swung on and missed, strike three. None of that matters because Wandy Peralta's changeup is filthy. Cubs get one on a homer by Pete Crow Armstrong. 3-2. Runners go. The pitch to Tatis. Inside, ball four. Fourth walk of the inning issued by Luke Little. This one plays Hayward, and the Padre lead is 4-2. Padres trying to finish the homestand 5-1. Here's the pitch to Swanson. Swung on, grounded to shortstop. Rolls right to Xander. He's got it. Throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. Padres with a 4-2 win over the Cubs here this afternoon. They take 2 out of 3 against Chicago. They move to 12-1 here at Petco Park. And have started the 2025 season 15-4.
Yeah, well played all phases. Good series, you know, good home, great homestand, really good series. Nicky came out, threw the ball exceptionally well again. I just love everything he's doing. I love his stuff. Stuff's really good. Ton of strikes, dominated counts, both sides of the plate. Sweeper good, curveball good. I mean, he's got 3 quality pitches working. He's pitching. I like the way he competes, but also stays within himself and executes. He's done a tremendous job.
Woo, man, these boys, I'm telling you, it is they're quite a marvel to watch on a daily basis. And you see the lineup come out and you go, oh boy, here we go, right? Like, oh my gosh, we are so banged up and missing this guy, missing that guy. Oh, no problem. No problem. Tyler Wade comes in yesterday. We're all in here wringing our hands over, oh, man, can you really give him a start against a tough lefty like Matthew Boyd? Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do that. Tyler Wade says, no, I'm going to get on base 4 times. Set it up. Manny Machado comes in, drives in a couple big runs, makes a couple really nice plays with the glove, as he usually does. The rest is history. Fernando Tatis Jr. putting together, you know, one of the best ABs you'll see to a very – people were talking a lot about that AB that he took Ben to walk in, drive in that run. Cause he earned that one, right? That's an RBI that he absolutely earned up there. Your natural inclination with the bases loaded is to do way too much to expand your zone. That's what the pitcher is hoping you will do. I got to get this guy fishing. I got to get him out in front, whatever. I mean, he threw him 6 balls in that AB anyway, and he still managed to go up there and work a walk, to drive in a big insurance run for this team. It's crazy. It's a crazy team to watch. It makes almost no sense.
All those things are true. You know, it's definitely the feeling of whose turn is it to step up today.
Bless you.
Yesterday, you know, Tyler Wade had his opportunity, but I think you have to start by talking about Nick Pivetta and what an insanely
good
pickup he seems to have been for the Padres late in free agency. Nick Pivetta looks like an ace. I mean, he doesn't look, you know, they've slotted him in as he's basically the fourth starter when Yu Darvish comes back. But he's looking like a good solid 1-2 type guy for the San Diego Padres. Three now of his four outings have been outstanding. Yep. I mean, outstanding. And yesterday, six more terrific innings, only got in trouble the one inning and then minimized the damage. You know, with bases loaded and Kyle Tucker coming up, I'm sure the Cubs are thinking, all right, we need to get, you know, at least two, maybe three. This could be a big inning where we break it open. Holds him to the sacrifice fly, gets the double play to get out of the inning, ends up six strikeouts, four hits, just the one earned run. And the Padres did what they do. They answered right back with two runs in the bottom of the third inning to take the lead for good. And it's just another example of the brand of baseball that the Padres have been playing under Mike Schilt. You know, he said after the game, yeah, he kind of played with the reporters because they were talking about, you know, Tyler Wade and, you know, who was that? Was he the guy who stepped up and he goes, who do you think was
that made me laugh.
The biggest two guys for me in this
who
game?
Who do you think it was?
And he goes,
so good.
Tatis and Machado. I mean, you know, he gave his stars a little bit of credit. You know, he always likes to dig down in the roster and talk about all the ways everybody contributes down to the 26th man. But yesterday he goes, yeah, but really, you know, it is Tatis and Machado, you know, leading the way here and the kind of at-bats that they're putting together. And you mentioned the, you know, the walk in which he took two pitches that were called strikes that weren't strikes and still managed to battle back, draw the walk with the bases loaded. He has gotten on base.
He started 0-2, right, on two balls?
I think it was 2-0. Then the next two were also off the plate, but were both called strikes. And so it was 2-2 instead
of, he should have walked on
walking on four pitches. Then he had to foul off a few, took a couple more balls, and brought in that insurance run. He has reached base every game this season. All 18 games the Padres have played. Is that correct? No, they played 19 games. So he's reached base in the last 18 or whatever it is.
Setting the tone at the top of the order, getting on base, having mature ABs like that is just... That's next level for Fernando Tatis Jr.
And Kyle Tucker had the longest streak. He had reached base in 19 straight games until yesterday. He did have a sac fly, but did not get on base. So now Fernando Tatis Jr. has done that. And that's not the kind of player we really ever have seen. Fernando Tatis Jr. was always the guy who, yeah, he'll give you that 3-for-4, 2-home run game. He'll do something spectacular in the field. He'll hit a bunch of line drives, but he's going to take his 0-for-4 with two strikeouts every couple of days, you know, and that's fine because he was, you know, he was crushing the ball and he was producing. But now he's also the guy who gets on base every day and causes havoc on the base paths. And he's that gnarly at bat that, you know, guys don't want to face. He's added a whole nother dimension to his game this season that makes him even that much more difficult to deal with for opposing pitchers. He's a nightmare right now. He is a nightmare, and he's up first. And I wasn't sure about it when Mike Schilt put him in the leadoff spot to start the season. Now I'm quite sure that this is the spot he needs to be in. Be that guy who starts it out every game, you know, makes the other pitcher terrified, essentially. Now, he may swing at the first pitch, but that's part of his terror.
Yeah.
Like, I can't lay one in to get ahead in the count. Because, you know, when those guys, you know, who are going to take a few pitches and are trying to draw a walk, it's fine. If I'm the pitcher, all right, then I'm coming in and throwing a first pitch strike. I'm going to get ahead of you, and it'll be my at-bat. But you can't do that with Tatis because he's liable to hit it 480 feet if you do that. So they nibble, and guess what? Now he's laying off of it. Now he's getting in hitters counts. And you know what? All right, well, maybe he'll still, you know, chase that slider. No, he's not doing that. So either I come in a 3-1 count or a 2-0 count and risk, again, 480 feet, or I walk him and I risk him then stealing second and maybe third. I mean,
then you have
so dangerous right now.
You have the best contact hitter in the game behind him.
You know he's
and Manny Machado right behind him.
Yeah, man, it's it's such a dead horse at this point. But they talked about it a lot on the broadcast yesterday. It makes sense to bring it up again. And it was really evident that this brand of baseball that the San Diego Padres play was a nightmare for the Chicago Cubs. A nightmare. They kicked more balls around, never got good glove on it. Padres took advantage. Padres did not take advantage as much as they should have. Somebody said in the chat, and I agree, the Cubs really gave you every reason to sweep. Now, I'm not in here this morning saying you should have swept. I'm saying you had some opportunities. Cubs did not play particularly great baseball, but I also attribute a lot of that to the San Diego Padres in constantly putting the ball in play, putting pressure on that team. And, man, it just to watch that. And, you know, they talked about it yesterday. Mudd said, look, yeah, you know, putting the ball in play doesn't always work. You know, you're going to have those games. You put the ball in play, they make the plays, and you're out. And, you know, it can backfire. He said, but so far, so good this season. The team doesn't strike out a ton. They're getting the ball to the left, to the right, making guys have to make spectacular plays. They're not making them, and they're just taking advantage of it. It is so freaking fun to watch.
I thought Tatis's at-bat in the third inning was very impressive. Saw a big hole on the right side with a runner at third base and just goes, all right, I'm going to just go with it that way, and hit a grounder that the second baseman had to walk, you know, run like nine steps over. And
couldn't get him.
With his speed, it turns into not only an RBI but an infield single as well. That's an Arise-like at-bat from Fernando Tatis Jr. He is so multidimensional now as a player. That's what makes you an MVP. And Fernando Tatis Jr., through the first 3 weeks of the season, I think is my MVP of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's a long way to go. You got to stay healthy. You got to keep putting up
the
numbers.
NL?
But yeah, of the NL.
Of the NL, yeah.
Aaron Judge might be your MVP of baseball. He's awfully good as well. That's true.
He's over 400.
But in the NL, and you know how that award goes, they look for a team that's doing well, and the Padres clearly are doing well. But just another terrific performance. Bullpen got the job done. Obviously, Wandy gave up the home run, but I thought that was interesting as well. In the eighth inning, gives up the home run to Pete Crow Armstrong on his second pitch. So it's a one-run game. It's 3-2. Gets the next couple of guys out. Makes a nice defensive play. Wandy's a good defender out there.
Yep.
But then gives up the double. I think it was to Happ. So you got Kyle Tucker coming up. And I'm thinking,
put him on.
You put him on? Are you going to go to Suarez? I mean, you're not going to let Wandy Peralta face Kyle Tucker in this situation. But Mike Schilt does.
He did.
He showed some faith in a guy who has pitched pretty well
this year.
And he was rewarded for it. Struck out Kyle Tucker in that situation. That was a big moment in that game. And a big moment for Wandy Peralta, who's looked like a different guy as well out of that bullpen. And he's your fifth or sixth best reliever, and he's been really good this season for the Padres.
They're whatever they're drinking, man, keep drinking it. It's crazy. Again, I watch this team every day, and there's a feeling that I have that I haven't felt in a while of like, I'm not worried. They'll get it done. You know, and if they don't, they'll get it done tomorrow. It's a weird space to be in for somebody that is a fan like I am. I just have a lot of confidence and the focus for this team is on winning. It's on winning. It's not, I don't want to hit second. I don't get my numbers there. I want to hit third, or I should be doing this. No, we just want to win ball games. We want to win baseball games, and we want to win a World Series. I'm not saying they will win a World Series, Ben, but I'm saying the mentality, the execution is certainly there right now.
They certainly look like a World Series contender.
No question.
No doubt about that.
No question, man. It is just... they're a marvel to watch right now. They're not doing it in a flashy way, like big, massive home runs. And they're just getting the job done. Very workmanlike. You know what I'm saying? They're just out there getting it done, getting the guys over, getting them in.
Very Schilt-like.
Very Schilt-like. Very, very Schilt-like. That's Schilty ball right there, man. It's pretty nuts. Everyone is just, they're there to win a baseball game every day. It's so refreshing in professional sports to see that. It really is.
So the Padres bounce back and split the season series with the Cubs 3 games apiece. Both teams scored 25 runs in the 6 games. So very evenly matched season series. They won't see the Cubs again in the regular season. Possibly could meet them in October, but that's a long way off. But that was entertaining baseball against another team that people consider as a top 10 team in Major League Baseball, at least early in the season. And I would be remiss, because I pointed it out yesterday, even with no Aloha shirt giveaway, on a Wednesday day game, work day, school day in April, over 41,000 fans, 11th sellout of the season for the Padres. No other team is doing that right now.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. For the faithful, really coming through.
Padres made a trade during the game.
They did.
Yesterday as well. We can talk about that move. And we'll get to Don't Do This and more in our second hour. All ahead, Sammy as well on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.